Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B. of The Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas, on this somewhat cloudy May 17th, 2017. Today is the last day of prosecution's case, and I am your prosecutor, on the so-called religion of Islam having its roots and their god in Lucifer, also known as Satan, the father of the lie and deception. And as you can see on the picture of my show page that I've been using since Thursday, it's built in to their so-called holy text, where they are to deceive the infidel. As you heard yesterday from Bridget Gabriel, which I feel was a wonderful piece encapsulating what Islam was from day one and is up to the present day. And it certainly proves the rule that a rotten tree cannot and will not produce good fruit. And you get that in the Holy Bible. I think that's somewhere in the Christian scriptures. It might have been when Christ zapped the fig tree. I don't recall. So we covered the supernatural aspect, where Muhammad was approached by a supernatural entity. His wife, one of his wives, convinced him it was the Archangel Gabriel. And as Bridget Gabriel pointed out, Muhammad used that in an attempt to use deception to convert the Jews and Christians of the Middle East. When they didn't buy into his fraud, he then resorted to mass violence, death, beheadings, burnings, slavery. The Gold Star was not a Nazi original. It was a Muslim original, as Bridget points out. So, you know, and I've been given the obvious answers on Facebook. Well, yeah, no kidding. We know that. And they put up the middle finger meme, you know, F Islam, which is great. And essentially that is true. But one must intellectualize and be able to argue intellectually their case. You just can't say to a Muslim, if they're even willing to listen to you, and you can't say to a Muslim appeaser, and you can't say to a young children that don't know much about the truth of Islam, well, Islam sucks. Doesn't work that way. So I've decided to end the trial today. I'm going to rip through some articles, but I got to time it right and not do it too early. Going to give closing arguments, and the prosecution is going to call a special witness. And this witness, I actually thought was going to be a hostile witness. And I thought I was going to have to examine him harshly, but he is more than willing to tell us how the typical Muslim views their ideology how they view the infidel. He was very forthcoming. Matter of fact, he was very happy to share this information. So later on, we're going to leave the courtroom, and we're going to go to his mosque, and he's going to ask a series of questions to his congregation that I have given him. And so Imam Hamana 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 is going to later on be called in. We're going to go to his mosque on location. The judge has given permission. And you're going to see for yourself how the typical Muslim views this global jihad, how they view the infidel, and what they feel is the appropriate and normal course of action for all of us to see the light. See the light, indeed. And to see that Allah is the one true God, and we must convert to the truth. So, moving in, this article is from teaparty.org.com, and it's called Islam in a Nutshell. Essentially, this is going to show you what the ramifications are as the Muslim population grows in a given country. Now, this is from April 26, 2015. So the numbers I give you, well, they've grown in 2 years throughout the world. So these numbers are going to be somewhat low. So here we go. It's time we admitted that we are not at war with terrorism. No, terrorism is the vehicle. We are at war with Islam. That is the truth. We are at war with Islam. This, not the Chinese or the Russians, represent the greatest threat to the world and might be the fulfillment of the book of Revelation in the only Bible. Adapted from Dr. Peter Hammond's book, Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam, The Historical Roots and Contemporary Threat, Islam is not a religion. Nor is it a cult. Now, I'm gonna disagree. See, it is. Now, this person says, in its fullest form, it's a complete, total, 100% system of life. Yes, it's a 100% system of life. But it's also a cult. Muhammad stated that he was approached by a supernatural being, and through plagiarism, he created his own separate religion, which his wife, again, convinced him that the archangel Gabriel gave to him, but we know that this is a falsehood. So it is a cult. It is a cult, and it's a 100% system of life. Islam has religious, legal, political, economic, social, and military components. The religious component is a beard for all of the other components. And I take that as a pun. Islamization begins when there are sufficient Muslims in a country to agitate for their religious privileges. Now, I am sure that all of you listening today can absolutely agree with that, because I am confident that you're well-informed individual. Yes, here's the gratuity. You're well-informed individuals. You know what's going on in current events. So I know that you're aware of this. When politically correct, tolerant, and cultural diverse societies agree to Muslim demands for their religious privileges, some of the components tend to creep in as well. Here's how it works. As long as the Muslim population remains around or under 2% in any given country, they would be, for the most part, be regarded as a peace-loving minority and not as a threat to other citizens. This is the case in the United States. Muslim population, 0.6%. Now, again, folks, this was pre-San Bernardino. This was pre-the homosexual nightclub. All right? So again, these numbers are going to be just a little low because it's 2 years ago. Australia, Muslim, 1.5%. Canada, China, Italy, Norway, averaging 1.8%. At 2 to 5%, they begin to proselytize from other ethnic minorities and disaffected groups, often with major recruiting from the jails and among street gangs. That's correct. If you watch the HBO series Oz, it was set in a penitentiary called Oswald, hence Oz. The Muslim population was having a war between the neo-Nazis. And if you know anyone that has been in prison, I'm sure that they can tell you that this is exactly accurate. That Islam definitely grows in prisons. And of course, we know that street gangs, you know, young kids are incorporated. They don't have the parental structure. They're vulnerable and they're easily brainwashed. So Denmark, Germany, the United Kingdom, Spain, and Thailand range from 2 to 4.6%. And again, those numbers have grown. We know what's going on with Britain. I know people personally that lived in Great Britain, couldn't wait to get out of there. And they have stated to me that the Somali refugees are the worst. The worst, even worse than the Arabic Muslims. The most violent, the most hateful, the most bigoted, the most racist there are, all right? And these are personal testimonies from people that actually live there, okay? So, from 5% on, they exercise an inordinate influence in proportion to their percentage of the population. For example, they will push for the introduction of halal, clean by Islamic standards food. Now, we've seen articles in Facebook universe, I don't know how true they are, about in Target, customers were asked to not bring their bacon or other pork products to a checkout line that was being worked by a Muslim. We've heard about Walmart producing a space for halal meat. So we're seeing this. Thereby securing food preparation jobs for Muslims only. They will increase pressure on supermarket chains to feature halal on their shelves, along with threats for failure to comply. Again, we've seen articles that this is happening in the USA, but France, Philippines, Sweden, which is now arguably the rape capital of the world, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Trinidad and Tobago. France is the highest with an 8% Muslim population in 2015 to the lowest, Switzerland, 4.3%. At this point, they will work to get the ruling governments to allow them to rule themselves within their ghettos under Sharia, the Islamic law. Now, this was attempted, right, in Garland, Texas, I want to say a little more than a year ago. And we've heard about certain no-go zones in Britain and France. Well, I'll be playing an audio clip later in the show, showing you that, well, you know, England and France, they're not the only country. All right? They're not the only country with no-go zones. So, you're going to be hearing about that. When Muslims approach 10% of the population, they tend to increase lawlessness as a means of complaint about their poor conditions. In Paris, we're already seeing car burnings. Well, we're seeing much more than that. Any non-Muslim action offends Islam and results in uprising and threats, such as in Amsterdam, with opposition to Muhammad cartoons and films about Islam. Yes, we saw that with the Hebdo situation. Such tensions are seen daily, particularly in Muslim sectors in Guyana, India, Israel, Kenya, and Russia. Matter of fact, Chechnya, Russia is totally lost to the Muslims. In these five countries, Islam ranges from 10% to 15%. After reaching 20%, nations can expect hair trigger rioting, jihad militia formations, sporadic killings, and the burnings of Christian churches and Jewish synagogues, such as in Ethiopia, which in 2015 had a Muslim population of 32.8. At 40%, nations experience widespread massacres, chronic terror attacks, and ongoing militia warfare, such as in Bosnia, Chad, and Lebanon. Muslim populations ranging 40% to 59.7. From 60%, nations experience unfettered persecution of non-believers of all other religions, including, as I stated earlier in the week, non-conforming Muslims. Sporadic ethnic cleansing, genocide, which the Turks did to Armenia in, what was it, 1920-something, I believe. Use of Sharia law as a weapon and jizya, the tax, as Bridget talked about, placed on infidels, such as in Albania, Malaysia, Qatar, some people say Qatar, and Sudan. Muslim populations 60.4% to 77%. After 80%, expect daily intimidation and violent jihad, some state-run ethnic cleansing, and even some genocide, as these nations drive out the infidels and move towards 100% Muslim, such as been experienced and is ongoing in Bangladesh, Egypt, Gaza, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Morocco, Pakistan, the fake country of Palestine, Syria, Tajikistan, Turkey, and United Arab Emirates. Low end 83%, high end 99.8%. 100% will usher in peace of Dar es Salaam, the Islamic House of Peace. Here there's supposed to be peace, because everybody is Muslim. The madrasas are the only schools. Now, just to touch on that briefly, Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Suratoro, when he and his mother moved to India with his stepfather Lolo, Barack Obama attended madrasa schools. And just so you understand, and they made no exceptions, folks, you had to either be born Muslim or you had to convert to Islam to attend those madrasa schools. No exceptions, okay? No exceptions. And the Quran is the only word, such as in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Yemen. And isn't it amazing? Saudi Arabia is head of the Human Rights Division in the United Nations. 100% Muslim. And we know from article after article, we know from Infowars.com, the Alex Jones show, that Saudi Arabia has the most brutal Sharia law on the planet. They routinely burn and throw homosexuals off of rooftops. They routinely stone women for allegedly faking rape, committing adultery, or not wearing the hijab, or the beekeeper suit, known as the burqa. Routinely stoned, burned to death, even impaled. Unfortunately, peace is never achieved. Well, that's impossible when something is built on bloodshed. As in these 100% states, the most radical Muslims intimidate and spew hatred and satisfy their bloodlust by killing less radical Muslims for a variety of reasons. See, that's what you have to understand. Their father is the snake. Okay? Their father is the serpent, the devil. And we all know the story that snakes, when there's nobody left, when there's no other animal left, they will turn on each other and they'll kill each other. Hello? This is what you just heard from this article. When nobody's left and the country turns 100% Muslim, they turn on each other. It's important to understand that in some countries with well under 100% Muslim populations, such as France, the minority Muslim populations live in ghettos within which they are 100% Muslim and within they live by Sharia law. The national police do not even enter these ghettos. There are no national courts, nor schools, nor non-Muslim religious facilities. In such situations, Muslims do not integrate into the community at large. And that's what you have to understand. And that is why Islam cannot be tolerated in the United States of America. They do not assimilate. And the ones that pretend to do so are only doing that because their numbers are not low enough to create their own separate ghetto in a given area. But like I said, folks, I think that since I've touched on this subject, that they mention ghettos and the police don't go there. They're also called no-go zones. And, well, I'm going to play a clip for you and you're going to see that Paris and London are not the only cities in Europe are not the only ones with no-go zones.
You know, we've been telling you all about France's no-go zones, hundreds of Muslim-controlled areas around Paris that outsiders and cops don't dare to explore. They chose just to give it up. We have them here in the United States, too. I bet you did not know that. Nearly two dozen enclaves popping up across nine different states. And watch what happens when a stranger or so an outsider tries to step inside.
Have you on our land anymore? Well, come down there and you'll be arrested.
But your land is open to the public.
You'll be arrested if you come down here.
Joining us right now, the man behind that camera, founder and president of the Christian Action Network and author of Twilight in America, the untold story of Islamic training camps in America, Martin Moyer joins us right now. Martin, what was taking place right there? Where were you?
Well, we were in Red House, Virginia. It's an isolated community, as most of these compounds are located in rural areas, heavily wooded, inside of the mountainous areas. And what we wanted to do was challenge their open invitation to actually come onto these compounds and see whether they were peaceful or not. So we brought our cameras, we tried to get on, and this is how we got treated.
And quickly, this is the whole thing that we're seeing here. What goes on in these campuses? A lot of people say, hey, there are Jewish camps in this country, Christian camps in this country. Why can't we have a Muslim camp?
Because these are truly no-go zones. Unlike the ones in Europe, which I have visited, you can actually walk into those no-go zones. You can walk in with your cameras, you can talk to people, but in these particular no-go zones, you cannot get into. They have gates, they have armed guards, they have security forces, and when you go up into them, you're specifically told to leave these particular areas, and they're particularly dangerous.
And we're watching right now. Where are we seeing this footage from?
This is a video they put out for the people inside of the compounds so that they learn how to do terrorist-type training. They teach them how to kidnap people, how to strangle them, how to kill guards, how to do guerrilla-type warfare training. And this is what goes on in these isolated no-go zones inside the United States.
In America, name some states, name some areas, because you also say they're affiliated with a Pakistani militant group.
Yeah, that Pakistani militant group is called Jamaat al-Fuqa, run by Sheikh Jilani, who most people haven't heard of, but that is the guy that Daniel Pearl, Wall Street Journal, was hoping to interview and was arranging to interview when he was kidnapped and then later beheaded.
So name some towns, name some cities, name some states. Where are
you? Well, we have him in Texas, Sweeney, Texas. We have him in York, South Carolina. We have him in Commerce, Georgia. We have him in Red House, Virginia. We have him in upstate New York. We have him in California. We have him in Michigan. They're scattered all around the United States.
So right now, when you call up an officer and say, hey, wait a second, you got an enclave here. This is Islamic extremists being trained on our ground. What is the law enforcement's reaction?
Well, the interesting thing about these camps, they're located in very rural areas of America, which has very small police departments. And they intentionally set them up in these areas where, for instance, the one in New York, they have a total of four police officers.
I want you to hear what you say is a recruitment, the sound of a recruitment video to fill up these camps. Listen.
You're most welcome to join one of our advanced training course in Islamic religion, or in Michigan, or in South Carolina, or in Pakistan, wherever we are, you can reach us.
Where'd you get that?
Well, actually, it took about 4 years to actually locate that video. We knew it existed, and we had someone inside of a law enforcement department out of Colorado who snuck us the tape, and finally we were able to make it public.
FBI's reaction?
FBI's reaction is that, look, you know, they have the First Amendment and other American rights to operate these enclaves in the United States, regardless of the type of weapon training, guerrilla warfare training that's going on inside of them.
It's not okay with me, and it certainly doesn't seem to be okay with you. Martin Moyer, thanks so much. President and CEO of the Christian Action Network.
Thanks. Thank you for letting me be here.
And we'll keep looking at this.
Okay, first of all, law enforcement is incorrect. The First Amendment does not protect terrorist activities. You see, these liberals have absolutely exploited our First Amendment and have turned it against the United States of America. You know, we hear the old adage that you have freedom of speech, but you just can't yell fire in a movie theater under false pretenses, right? Creating panic and a stampede and possibly, you know, injury and death, right? We've heard that old adage, correct? Well, this is the same that applies. Now, I assure you that in the 1940s, there were no Nazi no-go zones. And I assure you that they were not Nazis discovered to be doing training exercise within the borders of the United States. And I'm sure that law enforcement didn't and would not have protected their so-called First Amendment rights. See, that's what you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what you need to intellectualize to the ignorant out there. They're exploiting the First Amendment to hurt and destroy this country. It's the same thing with this freedom to express one's religion. Yes, you have the right to express your religion. However, when that religion is an evil political ideology that has openly declared war on your country, their rights are null and void. Do I have the right to go to my local city hall and make death threats? Do I have that right? I've got freedom of speech. I should be able to say it. No. I'd be arrested, and rightfully so. These no-go zones, these Muslim training camps within the borders of the United States of America are not covered and protected by the First Amendment. Okay? This so-called religion of Islam is not protected by the First Amendment. In my closing arguments, I'm going to say what Donald Trump needs to do. And it's going to be ugly. And he's going to have to invoke the military. That's just the way it is, folks. That's reality. So I'm going to get to that. And I've got 13 minutes. So quickly, I'm going to go through this. This is we need to read this article, you know, from start to finish. And maybe this is why our American Muslims are so quiet and not speaking out about any atrocities, which they are now. Can a good Muslim be a good American? This question was forwarded to a friend who worked in Saudi Arabia for 20 years. The following is his reply. Theologically, no. Because his allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of Arabia, who I have substantiated, and you the jury decide, and I think you'll agree with me, is Satan the devil. Religiously, no. Because no other religion is accepted by his Allah except Islam. That's in the Quran, verse 256. Scripturally, no. Because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Geographically, no. Because his allegiance is to Mecca, to which he turns in prayer five times a day. Socially, no. Because his allegiance to Islam forbids him to make friends with Christians or Jews. And again, you people can say, well, I've got a Muslim friend and I'm Christian. That's the takiyah. That's the deception. They are not your friend. Again, I refer you to San Bernardino. Politically, no. Because he must submit to the mullahs, the spiritual leaders, who teach annihilation of Israel and destruction of America, the great Satan. Domestically, intellectually, philosophically, spiritually, the answer is no. Therefore, after much study and deliberation, perhaps we should be very suspicious of all Muslims in this country. You think? Talk about an understatement. They cannot and they will not assimilate. And to have them in our military is just sick, Fort Hood. The Muslims have said they will destroy us from within. And they are being funded by the hand. The black hand of the globalists. Now, I'm going to read you from thereligionofpeace.com. Daily attacks around the world. And I'm only going to do a few of them because I'm going to be using this in the weeks and months and perhaps years ahead, Lord willing. This is an awesome, awesome, awesome website, and I should post this more on Facebook and Twitter. I really should. So, yesterday, only one terrorist attack. We should be happy, right? in the country of Nigeria. Two killed, six injured. Three female suicide bombers killed two brothers at a refugee camp. Now, it was very nice of them. They took May 15th off. I guess they had a rest. May 14th, two instances. Afghanistan. And remember, folks, I read you the stats, right? Of the population. Six killed. Six children between the ages of 6 and 12 are dismembered by Sunni shrapnel, okay? Syria, two killed. A man and a woman are stoned to death for adultery. Adultery, folks. This goes back to the freaking dark ages, right? Name one other religion on this planet that stones people for adultery. Never happened in Christianity. You know the parable of the adulterous woman, right? Who Christ said, you know, let the first one with sin cast the first stone, and they all walked away. The Jews don't do that anymore. But you commit adultery in Syria, you get stoned to death. May 13th, Nigeria and Afghanistan. Again, at least 11 villagers are shot and hacked to death by Islamists. Suspected Taliban murder two women and a small child with a sticky bomb. May 12th was beautiful. Look at this one. 27 killed and 37 injured. A massive suicide bomb blast snares over 24 souls. May 11th, Afghanistan. You see the same countries? 100% Islam. Peace, right? Peace. Two women and three children are among a family of seven exterminated by Taliban bombers. You see, the mainstream media is not going to have a segment on daily terrorism. They're just not going to do it. So, I have 7.5 minutes left. The New World Order, the globalists, also love Islam and have many similarities in the totalitarianism. But according to Walid Shobat, now this is an Arab who lived a life, he lived out there, right? Islam is the religion of homosexuality and pedophilia. The West in its era under Christianity has not known the phenomenon we call the homosexual movement until the 20th century. During the Christian era, whenever homosexuality was discussed, it was almost always considered an aberration imported from the Muslim Orient, which there it was always considered not just an acceptable practice, but a norm. And is why homosexuals tend to be more sympathetic towards Islam over Christianity. And, you know, if you look at the ancient pagan religions, they all got down with homosexuality. I mean, how about the Roman emperors, Caligula, and all of those dudes? They were pagans. They regularly exercised homosexuality. The ancient Greeks, the Spartans, they promoted homosexuality in their military because they were under the belief that if you had amorous feelings towards your fellow soldier, you would fight harder to protect your lover's life. And you can look that up. The proof to this is simple. All one has to do in order to understand Islamic history is to review ISIS, and then we'll see a microcosm of the times of Muhammad and his companions, Khalid, Ali, Omar, Abu Bakr, including all the Muslim dynasties after them, ghosts from a dark history past who miraculously were released from the depths of the pit into your social media network and YouTube with the original mascara eyes men red dye henna beards, long hair like women, Revelation 9:8, dress, sexual habits, including all the depraved, strange preferences, and unimaginable brutality. Now, I'm going to have to stop there, because I want to bring in this special guest. We're on site now in his mosque, and the room is full of the men. This is Sheikh or Imam Hamana 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 Hamana.
Every now and then, every time we have a conference, every time we invite a speaker, they always can come with the same accusations. This speaker supports death penalty for homosexuals. This speaker supports death penalty for this crime or this crime or that. He is homophobic. They subjugate women, etc., etc., etc. It's the same old stuff coming all the time. And we always try to tell them, I always try to tell them that, look, it's not that speaker that we're inviting who has these extreme radical views, as you say. These are general views that every Muslim actually has. Every Muslim believes in these things. Just because they're not telling you about it, or just because they're not out there in the media, doesn't mean they don't believe in them. So I will ask you, everyone in the room, how many of you are normal Muslims? You're not extremist, you're not radical, just normal Sunni Muslims. Please raise your hands. Everybody, mashallah, subhanallah. Okay, take down your hands again. How many of you agree that men and women should sit separate? Please raise your hands. Everyone agree. Brothers and sisters, subhanallah. So it's not just these radical sheikhs then. Allahu Akbar. Next question. How many of you agree that the punishments described in the Quran and the Sunnah, whether it is death, whether it is stoning for adultery, whatever it is, if it is from Allah and His Messenger, that is the best punishment ever possible for humankind, and that is what we should apply in the world? Who agrees with that? Are you all the radical extremists? Subhanallah. So all of you are saying that you are common Muslims. You all go to the different masajids, no way. Or are you like a specific sect, like the Islamnet sect or anything like that? Are you like that? No. Are you like that? Please raise your hand if you like this extreme Islam, that sect or anything like that. No one. How many of you just go to these normal masajids in Norway, the normal Sunni mosques? Please raise your hands. So what's the politicians going to say now? What's the media going to say now? That we're all extremists? We're all radicals? We need to deport all of us from this country?
Thank you, Imam Hamana 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 Hamana. So, right from the horse's mouth, he's telling you, they're not radical. This is right out of the Quran, and this is for humankind. So, I rest my case. My closing arguments is this. Islam is the nation, is the religion of Satan, the devil. Donald Trump must invoke the Immigration Act of 1952 by force, which forbids all ideologies antithetical to the United States of America with the intent to undermine and destroy and break up the Constitution and the framework of the United States of America. Donald Trump must use the military to evacuate all mosques and take them down from this country. Now, I know that sounds harsh. I know I sound this, that, and the other. But that is the only way. Because as Muslims grow in the United States of America, like the other countries, it will be more and more violent. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. See you tomorrow. 10 a.m. where we tackle immigration.